The company's called Brightside. Two former business school partners got together. They came up with an idea that bridal shopping needed to be a little bit better than it was. Going to a store, it's always very hard, and there's, well, you've seen the Bridezilla shows. This morning in our Allstate CEO Spotlight, we welcome into the program the two founders behind this, Nicole Staple and Sonala Lamda, and welcome to both of you this morning. I'll start with you, Nicole. Tell us a little bit about the company, where it started, how it started.
Brightside is an online group shopping platform for bridal parties. So we focus on the bridesmaid's dress and other accessories that go with that. And we've created what we call a concierge-driven approach. So when a bride signs up for Brightside, she's matched with one of our in-house style consultants, who is essentially a personal concierge to her and the rest of the bridal party throughout the buying process. They can shop online, they can come to our studio in Chicago, and we even have a home try-on program where they can try on dresses at home.
It's Brightside.com. Where did the idea come from?
So I was applying to business school while simultaneously planning my wedding. So I think the context was right to start thinking about what I wanted to do next, and knew that the bridal industry was one that was just ripe for some new ideas and innovation. And Nicole was my very first friend at Kellogg. And we spent some time uncovering how people are currently trying to make money in this industry and stumbled upon bridal parties as being this really cool group of women who are in many ways obliged to buy a dress. And we thought there was a really cool network opportunity of meeting one customer, the bride, and selling multiple products to multiple people who could then become future customers. That's really where it all started.
So, Sonali, tell me, where did the idea come from? I mean, when you came up with the idea, I guess the better question is, how do you get it from the brain to the paper to the internet?
Right. So I'd say, I mean, there was a lot of consumer research that went into this at the very beginning. Lots of focus groups and questionnaires that were sent out, really uncovering likelihood to actually use a product. So in the very early days, our big idea was, let's sell dresses online, because, you know, call it 85% of dresses in this market are sold through physical brick and mortar retailers. So our big idea was, let's just build a .com and sell it. And when we did our first beta and some of our closest friends were declining to use our service, we realized, wait a second, this is insufficient. Technology alone is not going to actually solve this problem. So from there, that's where our try at home experience came about. And then further along, that's where the concierge piece built itself as well. So we've been very, very customer focused and centric in actually developing the tools that our customers want.
So, Nicole, when you get to the idea stage and you get ready to put it into motion, how hard is it to raise the money, the capital, to get it going?
Well, in Chicago, it's harder than if you're in New York or San Francisco, for sure. One philosophy we've always had is focusing on strong business fundamentals from the very beginning. The capital has been there to raise, and at different stages you can raise different amounts. But what we find is very compelling to investors, and what we find is important for us as founders, is to really focus on how much capital do we need to get to a major next milestone, and how can we think about building, you know, unit economics and margins that will make sense at scale and not just throw a lot of money at it. And that's really how we've approached fundraising as well. And we've been great stewards of capital and responsible about how much we raise at a given time. So, you know, we've luckily been successful at raising a few rounds of financing and using that to grow the business.
Is it the hardest part of doing this, or is it coming up with the idea and executing it that's the hardest part?
Oh, man, they're both really hard. They're hard for different reasons. Fundraising takes a different mindset, and you become a salesperson for your own company. And it's a full-time job. I usually manage it for the business. And you have to step back and look at the company in a very different way. Whereas, you know, when you're in the weeds and day-to-day operations, that's hard for a whole set of other reasons.
Well, Sonali, if you could talk to me a little bit about the dynamic, because we often hear that people who pair up and form these companies often have odd dynamics. Mm-hmm. One is the idea person, one is the money person. It sounds like that's what's happening here. Is that the case, or are you both idea people?
I think Nicole and I are kind of a match made in heaven when it comes to startup founders, because we very naturally gravitated towards different parts of the business. And admittedly, neither one of us really knew a lot about the pieces that we ended up wanting to manage and to learn more about. So the way that it works now is Nicole manages all things sales and marketing. So our sales team, our customer acquisition, and I gravitated more towards the product, the technology, the merchandise, customer service, things like that. And I think where we've had a lot of success is that we trust each other and we resign to allow the other to be the expert in the area that we need to work on and improve. And that's why we've had a lot of success together.
And the money part of it, too, do you constantly think about that?
Yeah, of course.
It's definitely not a job that's split between the two. It's the fundamental capitalization of the business is sort of a founder problem, not just a one-person problem.
We're going to take a break here. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute. Nicole Staple and Sonali Lamda, the CEOs of Brightside.com in our Allstate CEO Spotlight, sponsored, of course, by Allstate.
On 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the opening bell. It's the Allstate CEO Spotlight today, shining on a local startup that is all for brides. It is Brightside.com. And we're chatting, having a conversation this morning with the two co-founders of the company, who are both, again, based here in Chicago, Nicole Staple and Sonali Lamda. And before we went to the break, we were talking sort of about how the company came to be, but I'm wondering how it works. And if you could, for those of us who are not brides or in a bridal party, give us a sense of who your customer base is, where they're located.
We think that what we're building in terms of a sales and service business actually touches on much broader trends beyond beyond weddings, beyond even just retail. We've seen a lot of different categories move towards this idea that, you know, in the olden days, let's say you had the travel agent, right? Then there became Orbitz and Kayak, where there was sort of unlimited digitization and optimization of what you could do online. But ultimately, that's not always stress relieving. That can actually be more stressful if you're planning a trip to South Africa and you need to know how to get there. So what we found is this sort of new wave, this hybrid of human relationships and data and digital. And that's so for us, what that means, and this is, you know, our category is something that's emotional, highly considered, an important time in a woman's life. And this is the perfect opportunity to have someone that says, hey, I know this is your first time doing this, but I've dressed thousands of bridal parties. And now I'm going to help you use our online tools. And I'm going to use the data that I learned from you to actually provide this really personalized experience and make it easier for you when you're shopping online.
The technical part of this, because when I think of going and trying on clothes for myself and finding the things that I like, how does technology help do that? I mean, what are the technological aspects and components of this?
So we've always believed we're a tech-enabled business, and technology has allowed us to enhance the traditions of the market, not necessarily replace them. So that's where our in-store experience and our try-at-home experience still puts the product, the garment, front and center. And so we never intended for technology to necessarily replace the physical touch and feel experience, but what technology has allowed us to do is to learn more about our customer. When is she most likely to convert to sale? What is she browsing for? Where does she live? How many days does she have before she has to place her order? So the technology piece has allowed for us to scale and to meet the demands and the needs of our customers accurately. That's been really, really important.
Because one of the recent stories I read is that there are 800 different possible dresses.
Mm-hmm.
It seems hard to store those in a brick and mortar place. That would take a lot of space. Is that one of the pluses to this?
Yeah, being virtual means you can provide even more product to your customer. But there's, of course, the paradox of choice, which is why we've always remained incredibly curated. So even though we have over 400 styles to choose from, we've been very, very careful to showcase the ones that we know women tend to gravitate toward, the ones that flatter different body types. And having that curated approach has really helped our brand and building credibility for ourselves, too.
But, Nicole, you haven't gone away completely from brick and mortar. You have a space where there's people you can come and try stuff on and meet. So there's a mix of the two.
We think that the future of retail is not offline. It's not online. It's sort of everything. It's in your phone, it's on your desktop, it's in the store, and it's you know potentially over the phone with a customer service rep. So our space in Chicago has two studios. We take appointments there. We're booked almost every night and weekend now. But what's awesome is that our stylists, when they're not taking appointments, they're selling online. So they're utilized and busy 100% of the time. So they can work with local customers. And then, for example, if a bride lives in Chicago and one of her friends lives here, but all of her other friends live all over the country, which is the major problem in this industry, all of them can have the same service from the same person regardless of where they live. And, you know, sort of the brick and mortar experience has allowed us to open up that market opportunity.
As we're in earnings season now, we've seen the big retailers having a real hard time. Macy's, Gap, Nordstrom, all of them seem to be failing. Kohl's. Sounds like you have the idea of where the future might be, do you think, for all of these retailers?
Absolutely. And that's where I think we've caught the attention of a lot of folks, because we said, hey, you know, we've spent a lot of time testing. And that is the benefit of ultimately being a small company. We can test and fail, and it's not a big deal. And so we found this way. You know, one of our stylists can manage up to 100 bridal parties at once. And we can say, look, we can provide this amazing service that you would get in store, but now we can make it super scalable and we can make it online.
There are so many people listening right now that are probably in your position. Maybe they're students just graduating. They have ideas. They may want to get a startup going. How has your experience, Kellogg School of Management, both of you, how has that prepared you for what you're doing now? Let's start with you, Sonali.
Yeah, I think so. Kellogg was an incredibly customer-centric curriculum. I think that's helped tremendously, especially when we're essentially creating a new channel experience for this customer base. And Marketing 101, my professor, Julie Hennessy, said, when you're building a product, you have to build it for a group of people with a very strong pain point who are not being competitively served in the market and who will always forgive you for what you don't know how to do. And that's been my philosophy with every single component of the business, with every new product that we try to build, every new feature we try to release is this actually going to make the lives of our customers better and stronger? But MBA aside, I really think you have to have the hustle and the confidence and comfortableness to fail, and to fail often and to fail fast. Because if you're not failing enough, then that means you're not working hard enough. And so overcoming that and kind of picking up and moving on has been incredibly important to succeed.
Most people, when they start a business, they have one market. They have a local market. You guys went right full in with a global market. How has your training prepared you for that?
I think what Sonali said was really spot on. It's an empathy towards your customer, and it's a customer-centric approach. A Midwest customer is very different from a New York or LA customer. And we need to know who our customer is and who she isn't. And it doesn't mean that our customer in New York, you know, we can't have a customer in New York and we can't have a customer in the Midwest. But we have, for us, it's sort of underlying trends that really imply that, you know, this customer feels the same pain point that we felt when we went through it as brides and bridesmaids. And that's really been sort of the theme that sort of runs through our entire product, and also how we approach customers in different geographies and even internationally.
How did you come up with the name?
Oh, wow.
That's a story.
So Nicole and I were sitting at my dining table, burning the midnight oil, trying to come up with a name. And my husband, who was sitting on the couch playing Call of Duty, just looked over at us and said, "What about Brideside?" We're like, "Oh, man, that's good." So that's kind of where it started. Went to GoDaddy, and here we are.
Nicole Staple and Sonali Lamda, thanks for being with us at the Opening Bell today in our Allstate CEO Spotlight for this week. The co-founders of Brideside.com. You can find them at Brideside.com.